Well, I'm Darius Larson. I'm the Lutheran campus pastor at the University of New Mexico. I'm the village philosopher here for this month. Doing pretty good so far, aren't I? And this evening's forum is called Dating at Polden. And we have some key resource people here. First of all, I'd like you to see a sign by raising your hands. How many of you have ever dated at Holden? However you would define that phrase, dated. How many of you ever would kind of like to date at Holden? However you would define that phrase. How many of you would not like to date at Holden? However you would define that phrase. Okay. No matter how you define the phrase date, we have a tendency to somehow think that it just may lead to some sort of lifelong relationship with another person. We may fear that or we may hope it, but that's always somewhere in the back of our head no matter what. So I thought, and those of you who think you might want to be or might be classified as a wife someday, I thought we would start off this with a little devotional reading. If we could turn to Proverbs 31. And we have about 21 people each reading one verse. And it's Proverbs 31, 10 through 31. And what we're going to do is the number we gave you, you're going to read verse 10, verse 11, 12, 13, 14, all the way around. And according to my Jerusalem Bible, this is an alphabet poem on the perfect wife. And I thought this would maybe set the stage for our discussion this evening. So, 31, 10, and then we'll just go 11 right through the order. You guys remember your numbers, okay? Take it away.
A good wife who can find? She is far more precious than jewels.
The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain.
She does him good and not harm all the days of her life.
She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands.
She's like the ships of the merchant. She brings the food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and tasks for her maidens.
She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard.
She girds her loins with strength and makes her arms strong.
She perceives that the merchandise is profitable.
I missed that. Please repeat that verse. Moving right along.
She puts her hands to the distaff. What's the distaff?
The other side of the staff.
Spinning. Hold the spindle. Yeah.
She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy.
She's not afraid of smoke for her household. For all her household are clothed with scarlet.
Her husband is known in the gates, and he sits among the elders of the land.
She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers girdles to the merchant.
Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come.
She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue.
She looks well to the ways that her household and does guide the bread of ideals.
Her children rise up and call her blessed.
Many women have done excellently. You surpass them all.
Charm is deceitful and duty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised.
Give her the fruit of her hands and let her words praise her.
So ends the reading for this evening. The only other resource, those of you who are late, if you're at all interested, the May 20th New York Times Magazine has excellent article on the feminist view of the new man. So if you want to know everything about what you, who are men, should be, here it all is from a feminist perspective. That is, if you're interested in a feminist. Okay, Mike has some other things to share, and then we have some other personal stories to share, and then we'll throw it open to the larger body. Mike?
Thank you. I only wanted to share a little bit about some of the reasons this idea originally came up among some of us. And actually, it was How to Date at Holden, not just Date.
For the tape, it's How to Date.
And How to Date, thank you. And I'd like to explain some of the reasons for, you know, the new staff come in and alternate around so quickly. It's very hard to really know.
Could you define alternate around?
No. Move. I won't say. Oh, what?
I'll tell you later.
It's very hard to know what another person has in mind when you're here for such a short period of time. And so if you're interested in dating, it's kind of good to get the mystery out of the way so you can define exactly, you know, what the situation is with that other person. As a good example, this evening, sitting here at our lecture, I'm very unclear about a young woman's actions and how she's been treating me. You'll note that Sarah... came in late. Christensen, Sarah Christensen. That's all right. And, the meeting had already started, and there's no question that this is the head of the table. And yet Sarah squeezed an extra chair in to sit beside me.
Forced the village philosopher to shift over.
Yes. Now, just as an example, how am I to interpret this as a young man in the village?
How should I interpret it?
And how should I interpret that? Not that, but how should Mary interpret that, who I sat down when I came into the room?
Yeah. Now, I think it's important. Who's sitting next to?
Yes, please notice who's sitting beside you. So I think what would be helpful would be for there to be a handbook for staff and guests on how to date at Holden. I think this maybe grow out of this because, you know, exactly what should you do for your first date? Some of us have discussed that, and there are certain things that are probably a little too risque. A personal trip to the jacuzzi would probably be a little bit too much for the first date, unless you had a crowd there already, or parents. Though perhaps sitting beside one another at Vespers, I think maybe that would work, because, you know, the passing of the peace, that's your big chance. So you have these opportunities to really do abound here at Holden. And there's some real creative things, too. Someone mentioned snitching the golf cart for a trip up to the tailings. You go parking and watch the lights flicker on in the village. That can be very meaningful. And, of course, I suppose lots of folks would like to know where the little hideaways are, you know, where you can have some private, you know, conversations, of course, with the person of your choice. Another thing I think that would be real helpful would just be some body language workshops. Darius and I saw one last year. I think this is a good example of just the few things that we learned. But this would be a closed position. Darius is now and is probably not open to advances. I might add. However, you might notice that Tom over here across the room is very open to accompany the legs. It's always the knees. Don't watch the knees, you see. If the knees are farther apart, check the person sitting beside you now, in case you were wondering about that. And that would be real helpful. But mainly, I just felt it would be helpful for us to, you know, discuss exactly what dating at Holden can be and how enlightening it can be for many people. And I guess I would just hold the rest of my comments. So we have some more discussion. Thank you.
Thank God. Now we're going to move into the highlight of the evening. It's called personal testimonies. We would like, there are several of you who have probably dated, and you might want to share some of those experiences with us, especially focusing on the how-tos. But to let you know that it at least is currently working, and we hope it will work, that things do kind of occasionally work out, and there are people who do meet here and do make some sort of commitment with each other, and that some kind will let them define. If you can share your life story from when the two of you met and when the two of you decided to do something more than just meet, take it away. Introduce yourselves too. There may be some of us that may not know you.
Well, first of all, I feel a little set up. Oh, this is great. Well, my name is Tom Anderson, and I'm from Portland, Oregon, and this is my wife, Mary Anderson, also from Portland, Oregon.
So far, I think the relationship is working. That's a good sign. There's hope for it. Yes, they're still living in the same town.
Still living in the same town. Mary and I were up at Holden 2 years ago in August. I was a guest, and Mary was on staff. And go ahead, Mary.
Those of you who are on staff, look at guests. Those of you who are guests, look at staff.
Well, we were supposed to arrive the same day. He as a guest, and I was supposed to be on staff, but
had not met before.
No. But I was too cheap to stay in a motel in Seattle, so I rode the bus all night to get to Chelan in the morning. So I got here on Sunday, and Tom got here on Monday. And that's how it started, and then...
I first noticed Mary... I was on the mine hike, and Mary was also on the mine hike, and of course, it's Mike, right?
Yes.
As Mike was saying earlier, it really pays to move fast at Holden, because you don't know, you know, you have a very, you know, limited amount of time. Well, I had, as we were walking up the hill, Mary was, I positioned myself, you know, to be close to her, this time, being attracted to her, and I decided, well, I'd just stay close to her and hope that she'd notice me. The first thing I noticed...
How close?
Well, as you're probably aware, when you walk up the hill in the mine hike, it's pretty steep, and I was right behind her. She was wearing... she was wearing running shorts and... the attraction, I will admit, right at first, was very physical. one of the things that I have an interest in is playing the guitar, and it just so happened my family was up here at the same time. My mother and my mother plays the piano, and we had someone else who was involved in some musical activities in the village at the time, so let's all go down to the lift and play some things. Well, it so happened that Mary got invited to play the fiddle, and we were going to do some.
Is Barry here? You know Barry with the white hair? He's on staff now. I was working with him at the time, and he says, Mary, you got to go down there with the fiddle, and I said, no. But then he drugged me down there.
Well, anyway, that was the next
thing. Anyway,
as we were fiddling around, I was sitting there watching Mary fiddle as she was watching me, and of course that was when we really first made eye contact, and I think that's really important. If you're if you're going to do anything, you have to make eye contact first. Like, you know, open body language is one thing, but if you can't make contact with the eyes, that's another thing. Well, at that point, we did some musical activities and left. Now, I don't think Mary, well, we, you know, went our different ways. Mary had not made any, we hadn't said anything about who we were or anything like that. Well, I had a chance to strike up a conversation with her.
Was she interested, were you interested in him at this time, or did you know he existed, or was it all kind of, what were you thinking during all this time when he was watching you walk up from the back, making eye contact and all that sort of stuff?
Well, I was glad I wore the running shorts and... But when he says we made eye contact at the lift, you know, well, see, he thought I was looking at him, but I was tuning my violin. So I really...
In other words, she was looking past me.
Yeah, right through you.
So you weren't yet interested.
Well, yeah, but I did notice them.
Well, anyway, I found out, I struck up a conversation with her and found out she was going to be coming to Portland. And that she would be visiting a girlfriend. And I said, "Well, listen, when you're in Portland, we'll have to get together, and I'll have to show you around, do some things, go over to the beach, and things like this." Well,
he said, "I'll take you for a ride in my car."
Wow.
Yeah, but he didn't tell me. He meant his police car. When he's on duty, that's what he was going to do.
The adrenaline rush really is effective. I have to say that. It's kind of like taking somebody for a bobsled ride. The excitement and the fear kind of stimulates them. But anyway, well, in my case, I said, "Well, when are you coming out of Holden?" And she said 6 weeks. She was going to be staying with some people from Seattle. I said, "Oh, well, listen, my folks live in Seattle, and I'll just be up there that weekend, and I can give you a ride down to Portland." Well,
she was not yet interested in you.
Well, at this point, it remains debatable. You know, we really aren't sure, you know, how it worked out. So the next day, my mother, who's up here, says to me, she says, "Oh, you know Mary, the blonde gal that fiddled around with us the other night?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "We've invited her to stay at our house when she comes out of the village." So not only did we have, you know, our own things working, but we had my mother working too. However, my brother, who's 32, is a bachelor, and I think what she had in mind was that once Mary got to Seattle, she could introduce married to my brother. The next significant event, of course, was the Thursday night dance in the village center, and things really got moving with the kissing polka. And I don't know, I was watching the other night when we did this, and I noticed people shifting positions in line so they could kind of get up there to be with someone who was going to be sitting there. I think that's kind of the way it worked. We kind of... This is a big chance to, you know, make body contact. Having made eye contact, now we had the chance to make the body contact. I, however, had the idea that I'd like the kiss. She wanted to dance. So it was her choice, so I had to sit on the outside, and she chose me to dance. She gave the guy on the other side a kiss, so I missed out there. I read it a little wrong at the time, but later found out it wasn't so bad after all. And after that, it was just a matter of exchanging, you know, names and addresses. Okay, well, go ahead, questions.
Did she go to Seattle and stay with your parents? Yes. And what happened was,
very shortly after this, I got a job offer with the U.S. government that would have moved me down to the Bay Area in California. And I was really debating whether or not to do it. But I wrote up here to to hold, and I said, well, maybe you could come visit in the Bay Area instead, and because at that time I would have been moving very quickly. Well, I made the decision a few days after that that I wouldn't take the job, and wound up meeting Mary up in Seattle. Well, the first event after this, my brother belongs to the Seattle Rugby Football Club, and I don't know if any of you know anything about ruggers, but they, when they party, it's generally a really good time. Not very similar to what goes on here at Holden. His rugby club was throwing a big boat ride. They had a big rugby tournament, and about 30 rugby clubs, and rented a big excursion boat in Seattle. So we went from the sublime to the ridiculous, and you know, right off the bat on our reunion, so to speak. Mary was coming to Portland for about 5 weeks, so I knew I had to work fast. By this time, I really knew that there was some interest there, and we saw an awful lot of each other during those 5 weeks in Portland. And then Mary decided she was going to move to Portland, and this was in October, November of 1982, and then. She went back to her home in Minnesota for the Thanksgiving and Christmas holidays, and then moved to Portland in January. And then it was in April that we were married. So things like this can work out. But it was a long-distance relationship.
Does anybody else have any story? Would you like to add anything to Has anybody else dated here and would want to share with us either their triumphs or their failures?
Does it have to be a triumph or a
failure? Bar party?
Does it have to be a triumph?
Oh, no.
Or
no.
Not that I'm going to share anything.
Well, let's not deal personally yet. Let's keep it out there somewhere. If you were at all interested in dating here at Holden, how do you think you, or how have you observed other people going about dating who help some people who might be a little slower at picking up on cues? So back to Mike's question, you know, if we could develop a handbook on how to date, what would this handbook have in it? Was there a comment over here? Oh, body language. First of all, you have to let people know you're available. Good point. Thank you. Anybody
well,
else?
You can offer them chances to work side by side. So, you know, if you're on the same dish team, you can work in the pit.
Yeah.
You gotta match up your skills.
How many of you here are on staff? Then you know what dish team is. How many of you are guests?
Well, you can volunteer to work on this.
I remember it happened once. Yeah. It could happen again.
Keep practicing.
Sign up on a mine hike tomorrow.
Very ready for it.
What's this dance we're going to do in a few minutes? The Kiss Polka?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the Kiss Polka.
I'm out of it, I guess. Any other ideas? Let's do some brainstorming.
I have an idea.
Sure.
It's really old-fashioned, but it works, and that is food.
Oh, man.
Food.
Yeah.
Food works. That's how I got him.
That's good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know how you do it here exactly, but I used to bring him. We were in grad school, and
she didn't like to cook, so she ate in the dining hall.
They had good food where I was, and they had desserts, and I never ate them, so I'd always take them in my nap and then sort of leave them at his door. His studio door, you know. Finally, I guess he kind of got. get the picture. And we ended up talking, though. That was a good lead-in.
Speaking of lean ice cream cones.
A hamburger around here is that it's considered an engagement.
Well, I think the important thing is that you really, with the time considerations, you really have nothing to lose. You may as well, the strategy that I kind of think was, after I knew I was interested in Mary, was found out what she did, where she was going to be, where she hung out, if somebody likes to hang out on the porch of Lodge 6 all the time, make yourself available. Just go sit over there, show up. What can you, if the person says no, what have you lost? If you nerf around, you don't do anything, you've lost anyway.
Something else too, Darius, you sort of made the assumption that it went the way we wanted it to, it would end up in a blissful marriage. There are also many who would like to date at Holden and hope to elude that.
That's what the feminists lack of commitment.
But I think there's some really good warnings about that. One is, don't introduce the person to your parents. You don't want the commitment. At least that's been my experience, not necessarily Holden. No. I tried playing the harmonica today. That doesn't do anything.
You know, if you knew how to play it.
Well, that might help. But I think it was my accompanist. But I also, another expert advice I'd like to offer is my roommate, who has really learned to get along well with women by dressing like them.
Dave, can you comment on that?
Yeah, closet up in the good outfit.
Some more wigs up there, Dave.
That stuck yourself.
If you would like to make yourself approachable, therefore, at least round one, somewhat safe, if I would ever have to do it again, I would rent a kid. Ever since I've had my kids, people come up to me, and women come up to me and start talking. They never came up to me before. So, if any of you would like to, I would love to rent it to you while you're here at home.
Couldn't you also use the approach of just being very direct and tell someone you're interested in?
Have you?
No, I'm not.
These boring dialogues here, but these other guys, Annie Hall, that you're saying, hi, what's your name? And then thinking, boy, she's gorgeous. But you never say those things. The direct thing would be saying, hey, you're pretty good looking. What's your name? Or, something like that. Or go further, like, why don't you marry me or something else?
Great. That's the room number.
Yeah. Is it? I guess this is a semi-serious question. Semi is all the serious we can get. Is it hard to be direct? Is it hard to state your wants and wishes and hopes and dreams to another person?
I don't know. Norwegians hedge a lot.
I think everybody's afraid that they're going to get turned down or something too. I mean, the fear of failing right at the start.
It better never even start. They get the truth.
Well, you know, that is so true. But I had a friend that was had a lot of girlfriends, a lot of dates, and I always asked him. He said, "Well," he says, "never be afraid to ask, because even if you get turned down," he says, "like my batting average with dating is better than yours, or is not as good as yours, but then I ask 10 for every one that you ask, and I go out more than you do, because I may get 3 dates out of 10 where you get, you know, 1 out of 2.
You keep score.
But what he was saying
What do you mean, are you in?
Let's see. The score's tied. But what he was saying is, if you want to, you know, go out and ask. You may get turned down, but don't be afraid of being turned down, because you may just have that thing happen that you want to happen, and that's somebody will say yes. You know.
Any other words of wisdom here? Or foolishness.
Well, I think we should all be for being cautious, because it's a very small place to avoid people.
Yeah. Who said that? Tell me.
Oh, Gretch.
That was cheap.
My co-host. Yes. Well, I had trouble finding you today. We tried to put this talent show together, we could never find each other.
That's true.
Where were you?
In the village center.
that raises a question. You had trouble finding her, and that just brought to mind. Mike had brought up there are very few places you can go to be by yourself or yourselves, and you're always around other people, there's always other people coming in. So where are the places around here where you can...
Ask Tom and Mary.
I mean, there's, you know, like the sacristy, or there's...
The pension!
No congestion booth.
I walked to the sacristy the other night, and there was someone nursing a baby.
Narnia was just like out with candles, you know. Wait, over here, Narnia? You say Narnia's a good place?
He's got 10 other places.
Yeah. I wonder. That was a good leading question, Paul.
Well, there's a real good, little open. It's kind of like a lean-to cabin, and it's about like a mile of the trail. And there's a real hard to see trail.
Is that the one at the mountain house?
Yeah, it's got a piece of canvas there, and it's just the right by the stream.
It's really nice.
It's missing a wall, though.
Really nice grassy meadows right there.
Yeah, there's lots of places.
I think one strategy is just employ other people and get a group activity going, like a camp out up at the ballpark. You know, get 4 or 5 people who are just going to sleep out and build a fire. You know, and that's one way, and invite whoever, you know, to go along. Or I remember 1969, I was here. This was a little different era, but a group of people, and I was just part of the group. But one of the guys invited a bunch of people to streak Holden Village, and about 15 people. It was a co-ed streak, by the way. About 15 people streaked down to past the 9 Mile Creek and back.
How many of you were involved in that?
1, 2.
Well, it was very late at night. It wasn't much to observe. There aren't many lights once you get past Narnia.
It was okay to wear t-shirts.
Yeah.
very long
ones. I found that the power dressing really.
Dressing for success.
Yes. Howard. I read books like the wounded university.
I think what might be helpful too is to getting back to my initial question is getting to know the folks that live in the chalets, because they got a lot of nice rooms and
Will you babysit?
What are you talking about?
What?
Sure. Will you babysit while you're there?
Babies always have to come into it.
How serious are you? What are you talking about?
Failing that, the
just raising
the question. We hear the portal is rarely locked, but you have to watch out for carpet burn. Who has something else to say?
I have.
Yes.
I've noticed, observing from the married viewpoint, and I won't mention any names, but I've got this one partner in particular that I've been observing, and he has yet to want to give up a coffee break. So I think that's an important time, you know, to have an opportunity to meet people.
Yes.
And it is. You do meet a lot of people during coffee break, especially carpenters. They're all lonely.
That's true.
But the thing is, if you want to meet people and you find somebody that you're interested in, well, you either have to let him or her know that you're interested. And the best way to do that is just what everybody has said, is either go for a coffee break or, you know, a Vesper set close to them, or, you know, if you know they're going to go to the jacuzzi. I mean, I'm sure in those lodges, kind of everybody knows what everybody else is doing. And it seems to me like there's a lot of ways you can meet people within the village.
Careful with the lodge.
That's all I ask.
Something back there over.
Oh no.
How everybody talks about, you know, kind of being direct, being upfront, this type of thing. How many of you, this is a serious question. How many of you do you think really are direct in relationships?
Wait, you're supposed to say if you think you yourself are direct?
Yes. Mm-hmm. You think you personally are direct?
Right from the start?
In a relationship or getting into one?
Before.
Okay, getting in. Can you define direct? Can you define direct? Can we define direct? What? Communicating like, hey, you know, I think, I'm not sure, but I think I'm interested in you, and I would like to spend some time with you to find out if we might be able to have some sort of relationship and develop some sort of friendship. That's direct. Not like,
that's really direct.
Yeah. So what would be your definition of direct?
Well, if you're interested in somebody, just like Greg was saying, you know, find out a time when you can run into someone, set it up, and start making small talk. Because you'll find out pretty soon if the person's interested. And if they're interested, you know, keep pushing it. And then later on, you know, within.
As far as introducing yourself to another person, how many of you have been that kind of direct?
Huh?
Kind of being around and convenient and trying to make things happen, kind of. I would call that indirect. I don't know what other word to use. Directly indirect. How many of you have just tried to make yourself available to people you think you might be interested in?
General public.
You mean here or everywhere?
Everywhere first. Everywhere first. How about at Holden? How many of you have been direct, like I defined it, find direct anywhere with anybody at any time in your life trying to get to know them.
What?
How many of you have ever done that here at Holder? But was I mishearing the people who were talking about what we need to do is be upfront, being direct? Or are you talking about his kind of direct versus my kind of direct?
Actually, one of the advantages, I think one of the advantages of holding this, I, God forbid to say something serious, is that you can, yeah, right. don't record this. You can be direct. I mean, what's 3 weeks? You can't get to know someone that well. And what risk is there at Holden Village with another individual? I mean, I consider this is one of the nice places where I am anyway, where I look at the men and women not necessarily as someone I want to get in a relationship with as in marriage or something, but more like here's a lot of folks who share a lot of my values system, and they're folks I can talk to and have a good time with. And it gets rid of, excuse the language, but it gets rid of a lot of the bullshit. You don't have to do some of the BS you have to do out there.
But see,
right?
That's exactly what happened in our relationship. We knew that the value systems were similar, and, you know, seriously speaking,
right.
All that crap was cut out. We knew that there was some, you know.
But if the positive side of that, you can get a lot of new friendships here, and that's good, so whatever that means. But I'd rather tell a joke, but I don't know anymore.
Yeah.
If you would say to me, or someone would come up to me and say that, oh, I think we're talking, you know, we could get to know each other, and, you know, and then, like, okay, where do we start? You know, it would be like, that'd be just too much.
It's kind of like the Jehovah's Witnesses at the door.
I actually call it headhunting evangelism. Or Satan charity, or one neck Okay, so do you have a better model?
There. No, I just think like what Tom's saying, that you know, you just kind of set it up a little bit. But also at the same time,
doing very well.
Wait, Susan, let's listen here. I can't hear.
Just about like what Mike is saying, that we're only here, I mean, most of us live like 3 to 6 weeks or a month or something, and, you know, there's not a whole lot of risk in getting to know these people. And not to look at them as another, you know, a sex person or someone you want to get involved with deeply, and just to get to know a lot of people and get to know about them.
Yeah. Well, I know one of the things that's been turns me on is if the girl says, well, tell me about your life. And that sort of opens things up. Or where have you been all my life?
Really? Is there somebody saying back here that wants to hear it? Yeah.
Where have you been all my life?
Is that working, Mike?
Yeah. Very good.
Do people at Holden share a common value system? You assume that. Can you? Is that safe?
I think that's a difficult thing because we all do assume that we share a similar value system. So at least as far as I've experienced, it's almost harder to come out and talk about it because in the outside world, you start writing and ask questions like that. You find out right away that here we all know, hey, you know, we're Christian, we're here for certain reasons, and it's a lot harder to start talking about it.
I think it's the trust factor is the shared thing. I mean, like, we all leave our doors unlocked. We can't do anything else. And I think that's... Well,
that's
trust. I didn't think it did. But I mean, there's a trust involved there that irregardless of one's faith in a God or something, that to me says a lot about everyone in this room, that you're willing to come to some... Just that very little fact. You're willing to come to this place and not be worried about losing some kind of possession kind of thing.
I left my camera. I left my billfold.
in this bag when last time we had that one of those picnics. And I also left a cookie. I went back and I came back, the camera was there, the bill was there, but the cookie was gone.
You notice that's the only thing that guards
there. There are cookie monsters at home.
People are honestly hungry.
What are the common values?
Cookies are big, actually. If someone could offer you chocolate chip cookies.
Yeah, that would do it. Yeah.
That would do it.
It's almost as good as a hamburger, huh? It was almost as good.
I think what Faith was saying, it keys into something important, that we have these common values and we have this trust with each other. And I think that for a lot of people, even if they are open to the possibility of a relationship, they might not be quite so open to it here because they're afraid of giving up that closeness just in general with everyone else.
We may need another form called friendship at home or something. But we're talking about dating. Yeah, good point. Good point. Another about 5 minutes, if there's anybody wants to get in, any
I've got a question.
Yeah.
What's the definition of dating?
When is it considered a date? When you walk behind somebody on a wine night. When you watch somebody tuning, thinking you have eye contact. Or when they stay with your mother. Where is it? I love your story. Good question. What is it mean? How do you know when you're not a date? Hey, say something out loud. I'm sure some nervous laughter or something. What are your roommates talking about?
That's the one I remember.
Don't say it.
We can pull the plug of the tape. When is a date a date and when is it not a date? Or when do you know if you're being asked for a date? Men, when do you know when women are asking for a date? Women, men. When do you know that there may be something?
I wouldn't ask for a date. I wouldn't know what to do.
You haven't learned that yet? Do you have an answer to your own question?
Not really.
We managed to get married without ever going on a date, so.
Yeah. Why even discuss it?
You say something more about it. Yeah, say something more. What?
No!
We had one day before we got married, so we each had one.
What do you call getting to know each other before you got married? If you didn't call it a date, what do you call it? Just becoming friends? Yeah. Is dating an old word?
That's when the guy calls you on the phone. It's always a guy calls
There's no phones here. That's a real problem.
That's probably why it's so difficult to date an old
man. Yeah.
You could maybe switch it subtly to proposition. To me, it reminds me of in Oklahoma when the peddler man's taking Ado Annie off and says, "Oh, baby, I'll go with you to the ends of the earth and paradise, or at least to the land."
That's a big one. Yeah.
I've been reflecting. I'm going to back up a bit onto the direct approach or short circuiting, you know, when you're only together 3 weeks or six. And it seems like I've learned, and whether it be in dating relationship or just any relationships, when you're in with a group of persons for a very short time, whether it's at one party or whether it's at a weekend seminar or whatever, one of the best ways to test the waters for a quick relationship is immediate sharing of feelings, as opposed to philosophies or thoughts or ideas or chit-chat or anything else. And you'll learn in a hurry if people aren't receptive to your feelings, and not necessarily about them, you know, I feel this way about you, but I'm just, these things are stirring in me today. You find out in a big hurry whether they're even interested in listening to it, and then you find out very soon whether they share a feeling back. And it may be a long time before you get into the, you know, the value stuff or interests and, you know, compatibility and all that stuff. But to make a quick relationship, or to at least test the waters for a quick relationship, I think involves the feeling level. I don't think a lot of that's done in the game plan that, you know, may go on for 3 or 6 months in some type of courtship.
Going right to that second level stuff, it's great stuff, but it scares people off. But they think they're people, but then there may be a relationship there. You gotta go through the first level and where are you from, and what are you doing, blah, 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 first. Yeah, some people get real shocked.
At home, yeah. Maybe we should make these name tags, you know, with all these questions, and we just wear them, And then you can, the last one, please, if you're still interested, please ask me this question. And then you'll know.
You
know,
you were 6 weeks, you got the idea.
Then you change the story. I love it. Did you all hear that? Well, anybody else have some closing comments here before we practice what we learned?
We'll be putting in phones.
Actually, if somebody gets up on the roof, this works as a good phone. Hello? Well, I assume that a dance will be getting going in about 10 to 15 minutes or so. Over there, I bid you adieu.
Thank you.